This reading this morning is taken from Proverbs, the 4th chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law.
Morning. I didn't want to say who the guest speaker was in fear of you might all leave. I told Nikki if they start leaving, just lock that door. Don't let nobody out. So, I thought about giving Brock the opportunity to do the morning lesson, but I figured I'd just get mine done first and get it over with, and that way I could enjoy the day. It takes a lot of study. A lot of time, and so I think Terry's made a special meal because it's being Father's Day, and so I wanted to be able to get that lady to step back and watch some golf, Jenny. And I answered what she got me for Father's Day, and that's all of exciting times, and she said, same thing I got her for Mother's Day. So, I didn't get anything. But anyway, what I want to talk about this morning, I missed something, and I'm glad John mentioned in his prayer, in that VBS. My, oh my, did we have a great week, John. And thank you, but there's just somebody involved in it. And I don't want to leave anybody out. But my, we had a great time. For most evenings, we still just sided with kids. And that made me think a lot about my lesson today. So what I'm going to talk about is, you know, children, the parenting, and the importance of that. And so I think about all the parents that made sure, and grandparents that made sure that them kids are here. But we're so thankful for that. I just wish I had time to go down the list. But we thank everybody involved in that, and everybody that supported that. And again, we're thankful for visitors that are with us. I'm glad that got one of my own here. Justin, of course, Justin and Lindsay and the family, they attend in Parkersburg, but I'm glad they come our way this morning. Me and Sherry are very, very blessed with two really, really, really good sons and beautiful daughter-in-laws, and just really great grandkids. And so we're blessed so much, and we thank God every day for that. But again, we're thankful for you, and that you're here. And I'm going to try, if I just don't get rattled on things that's not really in the lesson, I think we'll be fine. We'll get through this pretty quick. I don't want to keep it any longer than we have to. It's always good, I think, when we have a lesson. It don't have to do anything very long. It's just as long as we get the point across. And that's what my goal is this morning, is to get a point across here. And I think something is much needed today in the world that we live in. There's a lot of crazy things that we see and hear about and all around us, and just a matter of time that these things, if they're in another state, they usually will make it here too. We're really blessed to live in a state, an area that we don't see as much of this stuff is being taught in other places, But in saying that, I guess that what I'm, one of the things I'm talking about is, you hear a lot about is this woke ideology, crazy stuff that's out there, and it's scary, and we need to be aware of it. And that's the reason, you know, good parenting. I know we got a several here in the congregation that teach in the schools. And they know more about it. What they hear a lot about this stuff, more so than what I know. But I know that homosexuality is rampant in our world, our country, and here at home, and things like that, and it's scary with that. Same-sex marriage in most states now is legal, and so a lot of this stuff that, you know, we need to be aware of, and we need to teach our children as parents what's right and what's wrong, and there's so many of this, even this gender thing, that I think is creeping into all around us, and I don't understand that. I truly don't understand that, because of all of the, you think about the sin and all the immoral things that goes with that. I mean, if God, if you're born as a male, and you think you need to be a female, I don't understand that, or vice versa, and all of the doctors that are behind some of this stuff, those who perform surgeries and the medication and for nothing. If we're a male or for a female, there's no changing that. They can maybe an appearance make you look like something else, but that is about as far as it goes. And somewhere down the road, and I've been hearing more and more about this, that these that have done this have having really issues, mental issues. And so God didn't intend for us to do something else, an animal or whatever we think it might ought to be. But this is some crazy stuff I think that we're faced with. I don't know, I don't think it's going to get any better, but somebody I've heard say something about this woke, that the woke better get woke up, because they're on a road, they're on a way that's sinful, immoral, and a road that leads to, as Jesus says over in Matthew, they're on that broad way that leads to destruction unless they make a change. And we can all make changes, and our prayer and is that they can do that. And I think about those that in our country, in our world today, I think that there's so many that don't know God. They don't know God. They've never been taught about God. And when I think about that, I think, well, somebody failed. They had parents. Their parents failed to teach them. Apparently, they were failed to be taught about God and a godly life. So I picked the book of Proverbs to think about this, and there's so many verses. I tell you what I did. I cut so many verses out, and I kind of went, as I've been going over my lessons, if I hadn't cut them out, we'd be in here 2 hours. So I thought, man, we ain't going to want that. So I cut a lot of scriptures out, but I've got some that I hope that I can kind of prove a point, and that we, that'll give us here, all of us. And in Proverbs, there is a book about wisdom, a book here that was written, penned by Solomon, and in there is myriad of instructions, guidelines for parenting for the home, and that's what I want to get across. In the book of Proverbs, it teaches us how to live a godly life, in an ungodly world. And you know, this is nothing new. We can look back to all the times, and even back in the Bible times. This has always been an issue, and so it's nothing new, but we need to do our best. God expects us He expects us to do our best. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so, pretty self-explanatory here, as he begins here. He says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I want us to think about the fear of the Lord. That's one thing I'm going to hit on here pretty often here this morning in my talk here. The fear of the Lord in the beginning of knowledge. And that's what we want for our children, for our homes. We want knowledge, we want that wisdom, and for ourselves and for our children. And this wisdom and fear of the Lord, we're going to see here in Proverbs, goes hand in hand. They're inseparable. And again, much needed to be taught in our home. As I mentioned there just a minute or two ago about parenting and the things that we see throughout the world today, and I said somebody failed. Parents have failed, and I want to think about three separate incidents here recently, and most of you know these stories, but one of them being right up the road here. This is close to home. And I, of course, seen it on the news that a 7-year-old was taken into custody for burning down their home. 7-year-old taken into custody for burning down a home. Now, as far as I know, mom and dad was able to escape maybe without injury. I don't know his intentions. A 7-year-old, was he going to burn up mom and dad? I don't know. But where in the world would a 7-year-old ever get those types of thoughts? What kind of parenting would they be that he would ever even think about at that age doing such an act? Another that I remember seeing on the news, this is somewhere else, in another state, but recently, I think it was a 6-year-old boy who bought a gun to school and shot his teacher. Now, he survived, but a 6-year-old to bring a gun to school? I don't understand why he would even think to do such an act. There shouldn't be no parenting there. What kind of parents could you have to even take the season to do such a thing? And just recently, I seen on the news, and this is here again in the county, I think, at Fairplane, I seen where they took it, this mom and dad in custody. And I think it was another person who was even living in the apartment. But they were taken into custody because they had 3 little kids, little babies. Set of twins and another one. And they'd been neglected, abused, and starved to death. One, I think, if I heard right, it was given intensive care. As far as I know, they've got better. But what kind of parents would ever think, what kind of parents could you be to ever let that happen? So, it's just, and I think, well, maybe they didn't have good parents. And maybe their parents wasn't good parents. But I'm saying, we've got to start with our parenting. We've got to be good parents. We've got to expect it.
He expects us to be good. And I know me and Brock talked about this there just recently. You know, families, and I told him, I said, you know, things are different. And he said, you know, there's no family base. And he's right. There's no family foundation. Not very many, I'll say that. Not very many good family foundations. It's not like when I growed up, and probably John and some of the older ones, that when we growed up, for the most part, you know, dad worked out on the job. Mom was home, took care of the kids, took care of the all those needs. The kids, there was plenty of work to do, plenty of chores, there was plenty of time to play too. We played outside, run up and down the creek, and over the hillside. But we were a family, and we were grounded at a good foundation. We knew right from wrong, but it's not that way. The things have changed today, and today is such a challenge. It's more of a challenge maybe than I know than it was when I grew up. And so I think we're blessed here. We're blessed here at Sandyville with good, godly parents. And I know that they're teaching their children to be Christian children. And that's what we want to do. And we have a great responsibility. And again, that is a great challenge before us today. But in spite of all the challenges that are associated with raising children, we need to understand the responsibility in stewarding their little lives as God has entrusted us as parents. And we only have, and believe me, we only have a short time. It's just a brief time to raise them kids. And once it's gone, there's no second chance. No second chance, no going back, and then no do-over. And it's a task of a lifetime. If I told you it wasn't, I wouldn't be fearful. It's a task of a lifetime. And you know, I guess I probably see that more and better since my kids are grown up. Would I like some do-overs? Yeah, I probably would. Would I change some things? Yeah, I probably would. You know, I spent a lot of my time when my kids was growing up out of town. Sherry, bless her heart, and I'm thankful that she raised the kids for the most part and made sure they were in church probably every time that the door was open. And I'd say there probably would have had to be roads would have to be pretty much impassable. The kids must have been very, very sick for her not to be there with them kids. And so I'm thankful that she was able to do that. But if I had a chance to same things. I'd like to go back and do that again. Once this world is gone, that God has blessed me and carried, and He's blessed us with just a good, godly family, and we're thankful for that. But I think about, you know, when we think about the little ones here, and I thought about that all week with Bible school, and we have all ages. And Dustin and Lindsay, they have the youngest, but we have all ages, and it's just and they'll cry. I know Lindsay made a remark the other night, but I said that's fine. You know, it's good to hear them. Good to hear them. Good to know they're here. They get a little fussy. That's okay. But you know what? It don't take long. They're going to be calling, walking, talking. They're going to start the school. And they're going to graduate. And it don't take long, I'll tell you what. And you can probably just answer. Your Aunt Brent Melissa. They'll tell you. They're Megan. And it just seemed like yesterday. She's just like one of the little ones here. Running at the church level. She'd run and run out. And the reason I remember that, Megan, the reason I remember this, that she fell a few times. And I'll tell you what. I remember she had an egg on her forehead, but didn't see her. No damage. I hope Blade, no damage. She's done very good. She's a good girl. And she now is, she's just graduating high school, and she is on Scott College in fall. Now, this don't seem right. So that just seemed like John just yesterday, when she was just a little thing. So I say that to say, you know, they grow up. They just grow up so fast. And so we need to, you know, do our best as parents. So I'm going to get moving on here, because I don't want to run us behind. Of course, I'll read you this morning, and we're looking in Proverbs. And of course, Proverbs was written by Solomon. And I just want to thing to think about, and you know, I know I don't have time to talk a whole lot about Solomon, but listen to this about Solomon. And we've got to go back to 1 Kings. We've also could read about it in Chronicles, but 1 Kings is a good place to go. 1 Kings there in chapter 3, and I'm going to jump around to some verses here to get to say what I need to say here. Chapter 3, verses 5 and verse 9, and then jump right over to verse chapter 4. There, starting 29. But verse 5 here, it says, Gideon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And God said, ask what you wish me to give you. And verse 9, it says, so give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine? Chapter 4, verse 29. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of Eve and all of the wisdom of Egypt. And he was wiser than all men. So, Solomon, wiser than all men, penned these words in Proverbs. Yeah, he didn't write. He did not all of Proverbs. I think the last few chapters was by another writer. But my, oh my, there's just so much here that in Proverbs. To look at and to take from these for our home, for our family, and for parenting, and that's kind of what I want to do. And again, I probably pulled too many scriptures out that would help me a lot, but again, I don't want to run out of time with that. But I want to say here first that if you read Proverbs in chapter 1, right there close, we'll be that. Let me just read there verses 8 and 9. And he says here, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornament about your neck. And so, I think around 10, maybe 10 different times there that, I may even the scripture I had Nikki to read, begins with, hear, O son. And about 10 times there, I believe in these verses that he begins, with my son. And so I want you to think about this and kind of picture like a father and a son relationship. And I think the best way to do this, to see what he's saying here, in Proverbs. And you see, he's introducing the concept of wisdom, instruction, teaching, the fear of the Lord. And his effort is to persuade, you see. He wants to persuade his son to the path of wisdom so that he might live a godly and a successful life. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we would want to pray for our home, for our children? And that's what we need, godly parents teaching our children. Now another thing I want to think about, parents. Raising children can't be found out. You know, in today's world, we found out a lot of stuff. We outsource a lot of stuff, but you can't do that with our children. You can't do that with children. And don't think our children are okay on their own. Well, they're not. They're not. And I think so many times, it's easy to do, parents, is to occupy them children, set them down in front of the TV, and let that TV occupy them, or we're all doing whatever we're doing. Now, I'm telling you, and I probably don't have to tell you, I think you know, that's probably one of Satan's greatest tools. That television. I think the greatest is a cell phone. I think that's his greatest tool. But TV is right behind it. I tell you what, a lot of stuff on TV is not even fit for me to watch. You gotta be careful. It's getting worse and worse all the time. And even these cartoons, you need to be careful with all them kids are watching. Even on the gentle side. So if they're putting stuff in there, they're putting little stuff in there, that's not good. And so you need to be careful with that. And God, in His wisdom, has given this responsibility. Say, He's given that responsibility to us, the parents. That's all responsibility. And there's no one, I'm telling you right now, there's no one more important to them children. There's no one more important than mom and dad. Mom and dad. And Proverbs 22, and most of us are pretty familiar with this verse, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. It says here to train up a child in a way that he should go, and even when he is old, He will not depart from it. Responsibility to train up the child. They when they're little, that's when the training needs to begin. And we don't need to neglect that because it's so important. And you know, when I think about that, as Christian children, and as we grow, and as we go out in the world, you know, sometimes we might, and we do, fall away. But you know, when you're trained up, parents, when you train up that child, and maybe for some reason, you do need. You know what? You know the way back. You know the way back. And for the most part, the most time, you'll find the way back. But if you've never been trained up, if you've never been taught, then you don't know any difference. All you know is the world and the ways of the world, and so you don't know no difference. So we need to train them early times, and we have just a small window of opportunity. While they're in our home, and that's what I said a while ago, it goes by fast, and we just got this small opportunity to do that. And we need to prepare them. See? We need to prepare them for the life that God has for them. and not the life that the world has for them, but the life that God has for them. That's the responsibility, and it's a huge responsibility that we have. And we need to teach them every day and talk to them every day. There's all kind of good, story books and Bible time books, and we take the time out. And I know that Cooper, he likes his little books, and he likes to sit down and read to him, and even I know that I'm thankful that Brock and Lydia do that, the example that I know that prayer and to have a story time with him in prayer at night, I think that's some of the best things that we can do when they're little, that they all understand and that's what that's how they want to carry on. You know, anything you teach, anything good or bad, even the bad stuff, they get taught. So you know what the things are going to do, but these good things is what we want to teach them. These good habits, and habits to study and to know God and to understand God, but to teach them this wisdom and this fear of the Lord, and that is what is most needed in their life. And we need to be that example. We need to be that example so that we can just pass this right on to them. And if we're not the example, then we're not going to do them any good. But we need to be that example so we can pass these good traits, these godly traits, right on to them. Proverbs 1:7. I read that earlier, but I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read that. I'm going to read chapter 9. I want to hit it, chapter 9 and verse 10. And I want to see here about the fear of the Lord. We're talking about and how it goes hand in hand. But it says here again in 7, I'll read it again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. In verse 10 over in chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So they go hand in hand, and again, this is the best possible life for our children, is to teach them the fear of the Lord. Also, we can read into this a little bit more and understand it maybe a little bit more in chapter 2 there of Proverbs. Chapter 2, I think there's so many benefits from teaching this wisdom and this fear of the Lord. But listen to what it says here. I want to read here in Proverbs chapter 2. Let me kind of read down to verse 9. But he says here, he begins again with my son. He says, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, listen what you get, what happens, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equality and every good benefit. Many, many benefits from this wisdom, from this fear of the Lord. And I hope that's what we pray for our children. This is the wisdom that guides and guards and blesses us when we live with the fear of the Lord. You know, I'm afraid that, you know, they often say this, when you think about fear, usually when you mention the word fear, you think about something that you're going to run away from, isn't it? You know, if I'm approached maybe by, maybe I'm hunting, Brent, maybe I do run into some kind of a bear or something, and the first thing I get a little scared, you know, I think maybe I better get out of there. A little fear. And that's something that I'd run away from. But this fear of the Lord is one that we want to run to. It's one we want to run to, not away from. We want to run to God. And I know when we look around the world today and we think about guiding and guarding and protecting our children, don't make any mistakes. There's certainly no room for mistakes. Because mistakes carry with it consequences. Bad consequences, usually. Lifelong consequences. We've got to be very careful that we do everything right. That we teach them godly things. This wisdom. This fear of the Lord. So that's going to bring me up close to where I need to be. And I hope that each of us can see the value. I hope that you see the value of teaching the fear of the Lord that brings wisdom into the lives of our children. I think it's important. And there's many other verses that in Proverbs there. And again, I took a lot of them out because, again, I don't want to run it into a lot of time. But boy, there's so much there. There's just so much there for our learning and for parenting and for the home, for the family. And sometimes I don't know if we talk about it as much as we ought to. We need to. It's something we need to talk about often, because there is it starts with you. It starts with parents. You know, these kids is the future. They're the future. We pray they're the future of the church. They're the future of our country. So it's got to start. It's got to start somewhere. And it's got to start with godly things. And again, I think, and I just know that with everything that you see, we're here today, we're lacking godly things. That starts to see that, and I want us to, and I think we're very blessed here. And we're blessed with good parents, but we don't want to let our guard down. We want to keep and continue doing that good work. And again, I thought about that a lot this week, and we're just blessed. But I want to offer an invitation, and. I mentioned a while ago Matthew, but over in Matthew chapter 7, there in verse 13 and 14, it says the inner of the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those that find it. I said there a while ago, I think there are many that are, when we talk about fear, many running away from God. They're not running to God. I think many are running away from God. And I think about that, and I'm sure that they don't know God. so they wouldn't run away. They don't know God because nobody ever taught them about God. They don't have a clue what they're running away from. Again, it starts with parents. Many was never taught. Taught with defilement. And that's the reason that we're in the safe land in our country. And so I think about that in a way of an invitation, if you were here and maybe you found yourself running on that wrong way, that way to be destructive, running away from God. And you need to stop, and you need to turn around, and you need to get on that narrow life. You need to do that today, because there may not be a tomorrow. Maybe you've done that. For some reason, you got off that narrow way and stopped it on that broad way. Well, you need to stop it, and you need to come back. And you can do that. First, you will do that today. I know that we have a lot of struggles, and many have struggles in life, and if you are struggling and with sin, living in the streets outside, we can pray for you, with you, we'll do that. Whatever your needs are, won't you come? Father, you stay here, you come to me, thank you.